Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Catch all the play-by-play with Susan Waldman and Dave Sims on the home of Yankees radio, The Fan.
What's so good about it? I'm not sure on this Wednesday morning. 888-808-1019. Taking your calls for one more hour. We got you till 5 o'clock in the warmer show. Coming off a horrible night of New York baseball, as the New York Yankees have now lost 5 in a row in the most pathetic, embarrassing, inept offensive performance that we have seen around here in a long time, as they have now been shut out in 3 consecutive games. I think that's the first time since 2016. They have done absolutely nothing. And last night was even different than the other night. The other night, at least there was complaints. The other night, at least we could say, like, I took a caller and I appreciate his call. Oh, Boone's got a bunt because there was a leadoff double, or they're 1-for-18 with runners in scoring position. And how do they not score in the 10th? And situational hitting last night was just, they got shut down completely by Kyle Hendricks, who's 100 years old and has an ERA around 5.5 heading into the start, and throws an 87-mile-an-hour fastball. And they had 3 at-bats with runners in scoring position. This was hopefully rock bottom. And later today will prove to be a different team and more of the offense that we saw the first 68 games of the year rather than the last 5. Because this was the just absolute, maybe 2 good at-bats, both from Stanton. Like, absolutely nothing. The other night, a bunch of balls that were hard hit, bunch of bad luck, ex-WOBA. You can give me all the, they were hitting to a batting average of 190, but ex-WOBA says it should have been 400, and I've seen all this stuff. They've hit into some bad luck. Volpe with the ground ball right at the third base as Dominguez is sliding into it. There was a lot to that game to digest, even while they got shut out in extra innings. This was just a lay down and roll over for the Los Angeles Angels, and it was embarrassing. And hopefully this is rock bottom for this offense and they turn it around, because this was one of the more just, when we talk about lackluster and a team looks dead, and this is when the fan base starts to question whether they're trying all the, you know, that's always the conversation we have around teams that aren't scoring runs. Well, all of that was warranted with the display they had last night offensively. And then, of course, the Mets, who blow a 4-1 lead in the 8th inning, and lose a heartbreaker to a team that have given them heartbreakers throughout the last, I don't know, 30 years. A building that has been a house of horrors. I know the buildings have changed, but a city that has been a house of horrors for the New York Mets for forever. And you thought maybe you exercised some of the demons with the first game of the doubleheader last year at the end of the year to clinch a playoff spot. And last night, on your way, Soto hits the leadoff home run. And it felt like that was it. You got Peterson, who right now with Senga on the IL is your ace, pitching very well. They tack on. They get a bloop single that scores 2. They get a home run from Taylor, make it 4-1. He's cruising along. Along the way, the Mets did make a bunch of base running mistakes. They played a sloppy game as well as blowing it in the 8th. You know, Pete Alonso thrown out trying to turn a single into a double. He's also picked off and doubled off first base on a line drive to shortstop. You've got Soto getting picked off of first base and thrown out trying to steal. A lot of sloppy plays, and then that's what gets them to in the end, as Peterson does what you can't do in the 8th and walk the nine hole as the leadoff man in the 8th inning. Acuna follows with a base hit. Reed comes in. Reed Garrett comes in and can't get it done. Base hit double down the line from Ozuna, ties the game at 4. And then you see a more sloppy play where in the top of the ninth, a leadoff single from Juan Soto, and then a ball that I thought off the bat from Pete Alonso was going out to right field, gets right at the wall. Acuna makes an incredible leaping catch right at the wall. Juan Soto isn't happy with how quickly the umpire makes the call and is picked off of first base and doubled off as he could not make a determination whether he should run to second or run to first. And ultimately, he made the wrong call by just standing there and doing nothing. And he gets thrown out at first base. The Mets don't score in that inning. And then, of course, the bottom of the inning where Alvarez on a wild pitch makes a terrible decision and throws behind the runner. And everything went wrong for the Mets as it ends with a sacrifice fly. The Mets lose 5-4. The Yankees get shut out 4-0 against the Angels with an inept offensive performance. And now the Mets and the Yankees are now 0-9. 0-4 for the Mets in their first four-game losing streak of the season. The Mets, 5 in a row, their first and only 5-game losing streak of the season. And the Mets turn around and have to face Chris Sale later today. So both teams off of terrible losses, both teams in the middle of losing streaks, both teams looking to find themselves later today and ending this nonsense that we have seen from the team. 888-808-1019. So a lot to talk about. A lot of different things to talk about with the Met game, Mendy's decision to not pinch hit for Young in the 10th, all the base running blunders, Alvarez's decision to throw behind the runner, a lot of different elements to that game. The Yankees was pretty much straightforward. They stink. Will Warren did pitch well, and they've gotten some good, well-pitched games. Clark Schmidt was good the other night. But right now, offensively, Judge is slumping, and along with them, the rest of the team. Now, again, I still think the Yankees are a very good offensive team. They have been that the entire year. They still lead the American League in almost every offensive category. I don't believe that it's just Judge and a bunch of bad players around him. I don't think that's true. They have more above-average OPS hitters than any other team in baseball. They have been a good, complete, full lineup, better than last year. But the one thing they have yet to prove and the one thing they are miserably failing at right now is stepping up when Judge does go down or when Judge does struggle. Because I don't think when Judge is going well, it's not just Judge. Everybody chips in. But now that he's not there for them, now that he's through his first real slump of the season, nobody has even come close to stepping up. And we'll see if Stanton can do that because he's had 4 hits in his first 2 games. But ultimately, this lineup needs to be a hell of a lot better. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Stuart in Brooklyn. What's up, Stu?
You surmised everything with what you said, Chris. This is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But every time he goes down, gets hurt, or he goes into a slump, they fall asleep. It's like they have a switch that says, oh, he's not doing it, so why should we? It's like, right. That's what it appears to be. And Boone, Boone makes so many bad decisions, it's ridiculous. His managing of the bullpen has been questionable, and Will Warren goes out and gives you a good, how many innings did Will Warren pitch last night?
I think he pitched 6 innings.
All right, 6 innings he gives you, whatever he gave you a good game. He struck out 11 batters, so, but whatever. Mm-hmm. The thing is, when Judge is not doing it, they're not doing it. And it's been like that for how many years now? How many years? When Judge got hurt in 23, they fell off the map.
Yeah, they did, but they also had guys like Willie Calhoun and Jake Bowers, and like that lineup, IKF, that lineup was particularly bad. This lineup is far better. I would have a lot more.
And what are they doing? They're not coming through. And Stanton's come back, so maybe he can help. But the thing is, how much can one guy help? Everybody, like you just said, everybody has to chip in. I mean, it's getting to be frustrating.
Yeah, I know. But again, it's five games. It's five games. We have to compartmentalize it into what it is. It's 5 games. It's an ugly 5 games. It's a hideous 5 games. It's a historically bad and historically ugly 5 games. But it's not the end of the season. And the offense has been really good. I'm not saying anything. Like, I'm not trying to minimize what's going on, but the fact is they've been the best offense in the American League. That's just a fact. It doesn't excuse what's happened here. and they better turn it around fast, because we talk about the June swoon and the struggles they've had, and it has become a bit of a pattern for the Yankees. Get off to really hot starts and then kind of, at best, tread water. In some cases, be worse than that, but at best, tread water for 40 games. Like that, we don't want that to happen here. Now, I don't think they have much competition in the division. I'll be honest with you. I don't think the Rays are very good, despite playing well over the last 20 games or so. We'll see about the Boston Red Sox, but they just traded away their best hitter. I am no longer really concerned about the Boston Red Sox. The Toronto Blue Jays are frauds, and the Baltimore Orioles are a disaster this year. One of the bigger disappointments in all of baseball. I still think the Yankees are by far the best team in the American League East. I still think they're going to win the division, and I expect this offense to awaken. But right now, they are going through it. And it's not just Judge, it's everybody. It's everybody. But I don't think it's fair to say like that it's only Judge. The offense is only Judge. It has been five games where the entire team has gone cold, no doubt about it. But when the team, again, look at the OPSs up and down the team. You want to look at batting average? Everyone gives me batting average. Yeah, baseball's different than it was in the 1960s, okay? Batting average is important. I'm not saying it's not, but you look at their OPS, look at their on-base percentage, look at their slugging percentage. They have as many guys as anybody else in baseball with an above-average OPS. This lineup has not been a bunch of slouches and Judge. It's a gross mischaracterization of the team, if that's how you're going to put it. But they do have to prove when Judge slumps, someone will step up. And they don't allow Judge to be the be-all, end-all and the, you know, catalyst for the offense. He can't be the only catalyst. As long as he's the catalyst, a bunch of guys are still, you know, all those neutrons are still running around real fast. Or electrons. I think the neutrons sit still in the, doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying. All the atoms are bouncing around real fast as long as the catalyst is there in Judge. But when he's not there, they have to find a way to be better. There's no doubt about that. But it's also, it's not fair to say Judge is the only good thing in the offense. That's not true. Pat in the Bronx. What's up, Pat?
Good morning, Christopher.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'd like to question what Mendoza was thinking about last night as far as the pitching changes. I think he was trying to steal a game just using Peterson and Diaz, or perhaps Peterson alone, as he did the previous game with the complete game. I think maybe he would have been best served, after being swept by Tampa in embarrassing fashion, to ensure he had this game by pitching Garrett in the eighth, the complete eighth with nobody on, and Diaz in the ninth. What do you think?
I think it's a reasonable thought. It's hard to have a real problem going to Peterson for the eighth. He was dominant the game. His best innings were probably the sixth and the seventh. He's facing, you know, the nine hitter to start the inning. I really don't have much of a problem. You've got a 3-run lead there. Even if you get into some trouble, you go to Reed Garrett before the game gets out of hand. I mean, I don't have a major problem with it. I understand your thought process. You want to give Reed Garrett a clean inning. But if Peterson just throws if Peterson doesn't walk the nine man, I think we're having a different conversation. So I didn't mind it watching the game. I didn't second guess it. The way it turned out, sure. You could always look back on it now, but I think it's a reasonable thought. I think it's a little unfair to say that, you know, he was trying to steal games. He went to his best pitcher. Nobody was complaining when he went nine in the complete game. The last time out, nobody seemed to mind. Like, this is what he's been doing. He's been trusting his guys, and they have really repaid him, and Peterson's been great.
This time, however, you are going to a Braves lineup. You're about to get into their fourth time around, and this is a heavy-hitting team, despite their record, despite their lack of success, and this is a house of horrors.
Just to put
your foot in the door as a Mets team that looks like they may be maybe starting a June swoon just to get that first win. Worry about tomorrow when tomorrow comes. Tomorrow,
I don't think that's it, because I think very easily, Pat, maybe not you, but I think a lot of the fan base, if Reed Garrett starts the eighth inning and gives it up, we're going to be screaming, why not Peterson? He was dominating. He threw a complete game shutout. Like, it's just the result isn't there, so you're assuming it's stealing or playing tricks or worrying about tomorrow. You can make an argument that you think Peterson gives you the best chance to get through that inning.
I'm not one of those who are saying keep Matt Harvey on the mound in Game 5 of the World Series. I was saying go to your trusted bullpen.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the Tampa Bay manager always did over the years. There's teams that know when it's time to go to the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you mentioned the Tampa Bay manager, including one of the more disastrous decisions in baseball history in the World Series, taking Blake Snell out. Like, I mean, yeah, the Tampa Bay Rays sure do know when to take out those pitchers. It was a disaster. It cost them a chance to win the World Series. Taking out a dominant Blake Snell. There is no right or, you know, this is a one that is, it's solely based, and this is what happens all the time and why I'll defend Aaron Boone, because it's, if Aaron Boone made this decision, it would be, oh my God, what an idiot. When that's not the case, it could have went either way. I'm not saying you're wrong. I think there's a strong case to make for bringing in Reed Garrett in the eighth inning to give him a clean inning. There's a strong case to make. But I don't have a problem going to Peterson. I don't think that's a terrible decision. I think it's a 50-50 decision. I don't think he's trying to steal anything necessarily. I think he trusts his starting pitcher. I think he's earned it. I think a little bit of, hey, right now they're down in the rotation. No Senga. McGill just went on the IL. See what Blackburn is. You're waiting for guys to come off the you don't even know who's going to pitch on Friday. You've got Manaea and Montas maybe coming back soon, and when they do, you probably have to ease them in. I know that's probably a little bit of ways away, but still, if you have an opportunity to have a dominant starter who's been your best pitcher go back out there for the eighth inning with a three-run lead, I don't have a problem with it. I really don't. I don't have a problem with it. I thought he handled it fine. I don't mind him facing Acuna. It's still only, even if Acuna takes you deep there, you still have the lead. If Acuna takes you deep there, then you bring it in. Let's just pretend it was a one-run lead that you brought in Reed Garrett in the eighth. Like, I don't mind it. It didn't work out, and then Reed Garrett pulls the miracle, or at least is about to. He gets the strikeout. He gets the pop-up. He's got two strikes on Ozuna. He just foul tips a pitch on the outside corner, and you feel like you got him in a good spot. And then, of course, there was the difference in opinion of Alvarez and Reed Garrett on what pitch to throw on that final pitch. He wanted a fastball. I think was it a changeup? What was the pitch that that Alvarez ended up calling? Splitter. So Alvarez wanted the splitter. Reed Garrett wanted the fastball. They went with Alvarez, and the splitter got laced down the left field line. It's a frustrating loss. It definitely is. For your fourth loss, for your first one against the Atlanta Braves in that building, you're trying to put your foot on the throat of a struggling rival, and instead you end up having probably, I mean, it's definitely top handful. It might be the worst loss of the year. It might be the most frustrating, disappointing loss of the entire year. And now you've got Chris Sale later today against Paul Blackburn. That is not a great matchup. But this offense has got to go out there and figure out a way, both offenses. Dan in Belmar. What's up, Dan?
Hey, what's going on, T-Mac?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, not much. Talking about the Mets game, I don't think it's a June swoon for them. They were due to drop a series. You know, they weren't going to go the whole year without getting swept in the Braves series. So that was just, you know, it's one of those things with the schedule ebbs and flows. But this Braves game obviously hurt a little bit. I didn't second-guess Mendy. Only maybe you should have Reed Garrett ready to go when he sends out Peterson. He walks that first guy in the eighth. But other than that, I thought it was, you know, Peterson, he showed you what he can do versus the Nats last start going 9, and his pitch count was still low. So I think you ride with Peterson there.
Yeah, I am concerned
with Alvarez a little bit.
Yeah.
To me, he's regressed or just hasn't gotten any better. He strikes out a ton. His batting average, I'm not sure what it is, but if I had to guess, it'd probably be in the 220s. And he's only got two.
235.
Higher than I would think.
He's hitting 235. He's got two home runs. He's got 10 RBIs and a 636 OPS. That is an abysmal offensive season.
And look, I get it. He's still young, but you got a guy, Luis Torrens, who they got him off the scrap pile, and he's been aces. You know, he can swing it a little bit. He's great defensively. He calls a good game, and he's got a cannon behind the dish. So
yeah, he holds the running game. I think we're at that point. I do. I think we're at that point where I don't know if it's Alvarez is the backup to, like, I don't know if it's a switch, but Terenz has earned more playing time than he's getting.
I completely agree. I think Alvarez has to earn his playing time just because he came up as a highly touted prospect. That doesn't really hold water now if you have another guy that's producing better than Alvarez. So,
no, I don't agree, and I think that is a conversation the Mets are going to need to have. I mean, and plus he makes the bad defensive play. He makes the boneheaded defensive play in the 10th inning that, you know, I don't know if it cost them the game, but because Olsen walks anyway, and I think it was a 3-1 count on that pitch. So it's a likelihood you have the bases loaded anyway in that spot, but that's a boneheaded mistake. He might be able, if he runs at him, he might be able to get an out there, which would change the inning, that's for sure. But you can't throw behind the runner. It's a disastrous play. And yeah, 235, two home runs, 10 RBIs, and a 636 OPS is a miserable offensive season. Miserable. And this is supposed, he was the top prospect in baseball. That's why, I mean, there's no guarantee. That's why I get, you know, as a Yankee fan, I push back on the Volpe stuff. It's like, he was supposed to be this. He was supposed to be that. He's not this. He's not that. It's not easy. Just because you're a top prospect in baseball doesn't guarantee you some sort of stardom. It's not easy to draft and develop an everyday player, let alone a superstar or a star player. It's tough. And right now, Alvarez, despite being the top prospect in all of baseball at one point, is not anywhere close to that. And you've got a guy that the Yankees allowed off the scrap heap along with a bunch of other catchers, clearly one in Boston right now, but a bunch of catchers go for nothing or for not enough because they happen to be good at developing catchers and they had a ton, and now Terenz is outplaying them. And I think there needs to be a conversation around the Mets on how much Terenz plays versus how much Francisco Alvarez plays. Now, I think Alvarez, despite this defensive mishap, in this game, has been pretty good defensively. He's not as good as Terenz, so I mean, but Terenz is better holding the running game. He's better behind the plate, and he's been more clutch, at least, offensively. So, yeah, there's a real conversation about Alvarez. Now, you don't want to give up on Alvarez. You don't want to turn him into the backup on this team. I don't know if sending him down is the right thing. It wouldn't be, I don't know if it's the worst thing you could do and see if you can get his confidence up hitting minor league pitching, but right now there is definitely a conversation around Francisco Alvarez. He is struggling mightily. And that defensive miscue was it's a fundamental play. You don't throw behind the runner. And it's just refreshing, and I have to say this. I'm a little jealous of Met fans. It's not because of the winning. It's not because they're in, you know, they have the better record or they have Juan Soto. It's not. I'm a little jealous of Met fans because they get to have a bad game like this, and maybe it's because I'm not as locked in into Met Twitter, and I'm sure there's a bunch of Met crazies, but they get to just have a loss like this, and it's just a loss. It's a frustrating loss, but Alvarez can make a mistake like this, and it's just Alvarez made a mistake. Juan Soto can make that, you know, base running play and get picked off at first, and it's what was Juan Soto thinking? And Pete Alonso can get doubled off of first base on a line drive to the shortstop, and nobody goes, Mendoza's an idiot. And it's not some sort of defining characteristic that's going to cost them a chance to win a World Series. It's just a bad play and a mental lapse. That is so, you guys are so lucky you get to have that. You're so lucky you don't have to look at every single mistake and point towards the manager and management and how the team is put together and how it's a defining characteristic that will cost the Mets everything in the end. It's so nice to just be able to go, man, Francisco Alvarez can't do that. So refreshing.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Talk New York sports here. The Fan.
All right. 435. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Let's get to back to the calls, and we're going to talk to Brett in Long Island. I wonder what his thought is. I wonder if he's going to pick on Aaron Judge for his recent struggles, or if he's not going to take the obvious low-hanging fruit that has nothing to do with his postseason play, but we'll find out how Brett in Long Island is going to handle it. Hello, Brett.
Chris, I'm sure some of the listeners will be happy. I've been throwing up sick for the last couple of days, but screw it.
You're not feeling well? I'm sorry. Feel better.
Chris, no, I'm going to say that you're going to say that you're being sarcastic again because, you know, you can't win with you. It's one or the other. You're going to sit here and tell us you're jealous of the Mets fans because they can go five, you know, losses in a row and, you know, make mistakes and the Yankees can't. So is that more sarcasm or you're really jealous of the Mets fans right now?
Yeah, no, I'm jealous of the idea that not every single game is an indictment on how they can't win and every single misplay by a player isn't held accountable by the manager. It's just nice to just have a loss and go, man, they didn't play well tonight. That was I can't believe they made those mistakes, and then just move on from it. Where it feels like with the Yankees, it's some sort of like every single bad decision is at the manager's feet, which proves he's the leader, which proves they can't win because he's the leader of this ship that constantly has these mistakes. And it's just nice to have a team and root for a team where someone could just say, hey, that was a ridiculous mistake. Pete Alonso can't do that. He won't do it again, but that he can't do that. That's nice. I wish I could do that. I wish I could deal with the Yankee fans who do that.
And I want to finish with Judge, but before, I wanted to say that in my 11 online social media groups, I'll tell you this, the pulse of the Mets fans, they think that you're condescending.
Really?
That Chris McMonagle guy, he's this Yankee guy, Yankee shill, who's condescending, which is even worse. So they don't want to hear it. I'm being honest with you. They don't want to hear it. I talked to a few people, and they're it's almost disrespectful how he looks down on it. It's like, oh, I don't care. I'm not even worried about them. So, you know, that's not really working either,
that's not working. As much as I'm sure the 11 social media groups that you are in are some sort of really defining characteristic of an entire fan base of this station and
it's
Mets
all
fans.
Mets groups with thousands of people. Oh, I mean, what do you mean?
Thousands of people. Many thousands, okay. I'm sure. Listen, we've gotten to a place where, and it happens on Twitter too, Marash was just talking about this. If you, with the way things have gone with these two teams in particular, but if you are a fan of one team or the other fan base doesn't want to hear your opinion. The other fan base is annoyed at everything you say. That's just, it's transitioned into that. I don't know why. I'm talking about the Mets honestly and openly. I'm being critical when it's time to be critical. I praise them. I've been praising this pitching staff.
Fan base.
Yeah, no,
it's
because
a divided fan base.
No,
but it's been dividing.
No, I understand that, but we view it as if now we have become so identified with our fan base as show hosts that it's almost like because I'm a Yankee fan, my comments on the Mets are being taken with some sort of like, oh, he must be, you know, like I, it's you. You're part of it.
I just
you're part of it. You're part.
Wait,
no, wait, wait. Let me just finish. Let me just finish. Okay, I'm gonna put you on hold there. You're part of it when you tell me that I have to hate the Mets. That's why your 11 social media groups are saying this. One, you must be asking them, and two, it's because you go, how the hell can you not hate the Mets? I don't understand it. But and then when I say I don't hate the Mets because they never beat me, it comes off condescending. But that's it. Like, I have to hate the Mets. I have to hate the Mets because I'm a Yankee fan, so I have to hate them. And if I have to hate them, then how do I talk fair about them? I don't hate them, and I try and talk fair about them. And sometimes I have fun with people on Twitter and everything. That's part of the game. But, like, that's your thought process on how I have to hate the Mets because I'm a Yankee fan is part of the reason. When I talk about them on this show, I'm not coming at it from a Yankee fan's perspective. I'm coming at it as a baseball fan's perspective, talking about the Mets and putting myself in a position of a Mets fan and how I would feel about the team in that moment. Now, let's try again if you can go without yapping so much.
I heard you say that
you haven't stopped once, have you?
I
You haven't stopped once.
I never said you had to hate the Mets.
You haven't stopped once.
You say you root for the Mets. That's the difference.
Yes.
You root for the Mets.
I do.
That's the part. No one believes you.
Well, I don't care.
I promise you, no one believes you.
I don't care what
people
believe.
I didn't say you had to hate the Mets. You said, oh, if the Yankees lose, I'll root for the Mets to win like a World Series. That's what you said.
Yes, and I stand by
that. No one believes that.
All right, okay. Whatever you want to say.
And they're going to win the World Series.
You're a Yankee
fan. They're going to rib you, Chris.
I don't care about being ribbed by the fans.
Really?
I talk to you every day, Brett. You know how many people in my social media groups
tell
me not to take your phone calls? Do you know how many people?
No one gets you on Twitter. Nobody gets you going.
Do you know how many people
tell me? You want to give them more ammunition?
Do you know how many people tell me not to talk to you? Do you know how many people? I don't care about the ribbing. I welcome your phone call every day. I don't care.
But if you root for the Mets to win a World Series, that doesn't make sense. Then you're giving
those
same people.
Let me ask you a question. Okay, we're going to calm down one more time. We're going to try this again. Let's see if he stopped talking. Hello?
Chris, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. You're a Yankee fan, is that right?
Yes.
Okay, so if the Yankees...
I don't root for the Mets.
If the Mets and the Red Sox were playing in the World Series, who would you root for?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I think it's an easy one. I think it's ridiculous that it hasn't
taken
you
2 seconds.
There?
Why does it have to go there?
Okay, hold on. Ready? Okay. Okay, hold on. Okay, we're going to try again. We'll see if the hold, if I can, you know, train him, if I can, you know, house train him with hold. Brett, you there?
Chris, you're still there.
Hey, Brett, still here, amazingly enough. Now, let me ask you another question. If the Houston Astros and the New York Mets were in the World Series, who would you root for?
Why does it have to go there, Chris?
What do you mean? You're telling... Because that's what I said. I said I would root for the Mets in the World Series. Who do I... Against who? Against the teams that have beat
me. Mets and Dodgers, right?
Mets and what Dodgers can't play in the World Series.
Oh, Mets, right. That's
correct. Next question.
Right.
No,
did you want the Mets or the
Dodgers? Okay, hold on. Right, I'm going to try it one more time. Hold on, Brett. Let's see if we can calm him down. Brett, Long Island.
Did you want Mets or Dodgers?
Okay, we're going to try it one more time. Hold on. Let's see if we can... calm him down during the break. See if we can go to him one more time. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett? So you're a Yankee fan, right, Brett?
Oh, my God, Chris. Come on.
Are you a Yankee fan?
Chris.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Mets and the Tigers are in the World Series. Who are you rooting for?
I'll take the Tigers.
Okay, I disagree with you because I remember 05. And I remember 13, and I remember Derek Jeter breaking his ankle against the Tigers as they got swept in the ALCS. And I remember Justin Verlander sticking it up to you know where over and over again. That's what I remember. I remember we were supposed to beat the we were Murderers Row plus Cano in 2006, supposed to roll over the Tigers. Supposed to roll all over him. And there's Kenny Rogers shutting us down with the pine tar all over his neck. Maybe you forgot that series. I haven't, Brett. I haven't forgot that series. I remember that series. I remember losing to that lousy Tiger team. A team that had the division all year and then spit the bit with a miserable September and allowed the Minnesota Twins to win that division, and they were falling apart as the wild card, and the Yankees pounded a bunch of home runs. Bobby Abreu hitting home runs. They won like 35-0 in game one and then lost three straight in a year that they should have. Then it was the Oakland A's, who the Yankees have beaten every single time they've seen them in the playoffs, waiting for them in the ALCS. The Yankees were bound to go to the World Series to play an 85-win Cardinals team that the Tigers spit the bit so bad in the World Series and couldn't field a single bunt. Do you remember how bad the Tigers played in that World Series after getting there and beating the Yankees? I remember that, Brett. Because I'm a real Yankee fan who is pissed and hates the teams that have caused me pain. And if you think that I'm going to sit there and root for anybody, root for the Tigers, root for the Astros, root for the Red Sox, root for anybody over the New York Mets because I'm going to get ribbed by people, you're crazy. That's just how I feel. And I don't care if the social media groups think that's sarcastic or nobody believes me. I don't give a damn. I don't care. I really don't care. Nobody believed the Earth was the sun was at the center of the universe. I don't care. I'm telling you right now, if it is a, and I've changed my way since I was younger where I wanted the team to lose to the guys who went on to win the World Series. And I would root for the American League team. Like, you know, in 97, I rooted for the Cleveland Indians over the Marlins because I wanted to say we lost to the champion. That's what I wanted to be able to say, we lost to the champion. 02, I think I even might have even rooted for the Rangers. The Angels, after losing to the Angels. I'm done with that. I don't feel that way anymore. I've changed. If the Mets were to play any of the teams that have caused me immense pain throughout the history, if they play the Angels, if they play the Tigers, if they play the Astros, if they play the Red Sox, hell, if they play the Guardians, if they play any of those teams, I'm rooting for the Mets. And if the Mets play a team that the Yankees lost to along the way, if the Yankees lose to, say, I don't know, a team that hasn't caused me pain yet, the Kansas City Royals. I know it caused people pain in the 70s and 80s. I don't go back that far. But let's say, what's another team? Let's say the Seattle Mariners, right? The Seattle Mariners never really caused me any pain. Say the Mariners get hot, win that division, beat the Yankees, get to the World Series. I'm going to be rooting for the Mets because I'm going to be pissed that they just lost to Seattle. That's how I feel. That's how I operate. I don't hate the Mets. If the Mets would have won the 2000 World Series, maybe we're having a different conversation. If the Mets beat the Yankees in this World Series, then I'll hate them moving forward. I lose those series and I go into a dark room and it takes me a month to get over it. You know how long it took me to get over Kenny Rogers and that crap all over his neck? You know how long? You know how long? But because I should forget that, because the next time I see Tommy Lugar, he's going to throw it in my face, I don't give a damn.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
And I really don't care if you believe me or not.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right. Last few minutes here on the show. McMonagle with you on a Wednesday morning. We'll be back again tomorrow, 2 a.m. And then, yes, a couple of... At least one caller asked about it. I will be doing the show live Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., live from Fanatics Fest at the Javits Center. I'm looking forward to that. Should be a lot of fun. I was looking at the lineup is incredible. The amount of people. If you have, you know, a free Saturday, and God knows it's going to rain. Right? It rains every stinking day. Come on down because some of the get some tickets because, man, the lineups, the amount of people, the entire Yankee team Friday night, a bunch of people on Saturday. My son's looking forward to some wrestlers. It should be a good time. So I will be live from the Javits Center on Saturday morning, 888-808-1019. But I'll be back with you tomorrow at 2 a.m. And then we have a five-hour midnight ride on a Friday. The best time to have a five-hour midnight ride. 888-808-1019. Let's get back to the calls, though, for the last few minutes. Spencer in East Windsor. What's up, Spencer?
Hey, Chris. How are you?
Good,
you know, this loose. This losing streak by the Yankees, it's not just the losing, but it's the lack of runs.
Sure.
It's something, you know, that happens every year. We saw it happen in 22 and it happened in 24. Mm-hmm. And for a fan like me, you know, I keep things in perspective. I like Brian Cashman. I like Aaron Boone, you know, so I'm not one of those fans that says, oh, we got to get rid of this guy and does things irrationally. But it does get you exasperated as a fan, too, when they stop scoring runs.
Of course.
Paul O'Neill, you know, you've heard him say on the Yes Network, what is a home run? A home run is a good swing on a mistake by a pitcher. And one thing that's been remarkable to me is all of the balls that have been hit to the warning track by the Yankees that have just not carried out. You know, it's like crazy, like how they just can't get the ball over the fence.
Yeah.
So much for the short porch, right?
Well, I mean, in for Bellinger in particular, and I mean, there has been, they talked about it today on the broadcast with Cole a little bit. MLB, there've been some investigations, and MLB is admitting that there is more drag on the baseball this year than previous years, and it's traveling. Fly balls are traveling an estimated 4 feet shorter than last year.
Yeah,
They think it's because the laces have been raised a little bit on the ball. It's not an intentional thing, but the manufacturers. I have no idea. It's too complicated
it's
for me.
But, Chris, but I mean,
there is definitely. I remember the first time I noticed it and really felt it was Alonso at Yankee Stadium Sunday Night Baseball. I was at the game. He hit one in the air, and I you know, jokingly turned to Lugar. I was sitting next to at the time, and I said, "Oh, it's too high." But like I thought that ball was gone. And then you saw Pete's face, and he was like, he couldn't explain how it wasn't gone. And then there were at least two or three. Last night's game was the real one that bothered me I shouldn't say bothered me, the opposite. I kind of just was washed over with how terrible they were because there weren't any good at-bats. There weren't any moments. The other night, they had they were 1-for-18 with runners in scoring position. They had guys on, leadoff, doubles, you know, multiple opportunities to come through with hits. You know, obviously the two innings of the free runner and couldn't do anything. This game was, they were 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. They just got completely shut down.
Hey, Chris, we're getting hits, man. I'll take a strikeout, pass ball, run to first.
Yeah, no, at this point, I'll take anything to score a run. A run. My kingdom for a run. I'm anything right now. But yes, there's no doubt. Now, look, I'm not all, this is where, again, I'll differ than most Yankee fans. There's no doubt. There has been a history of this in 22 and 24. They don't, you know, there's also a history of pulling out of it and winning the division and getting to the ALCS and the World Series. But, yeah, there has been a trend of a good start followed by a stretch of bad play in the middle of the season in June and July. That's just true. 22 was a little bit later than June. It started more July, early August, but it was bad, and it went through a real stretch there. I'm not going to tell you I know that we are in line for that now. It's an ugly 5 games, there is no doubt. The idea that that impending stretch is absolutely coming and we can look for the next 3 weeks to a month minimum to be like this, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. Would it surprise anyone if they rattle off the next 5 wins in a row at home against the Angels and the Orioles? Like, would it surprise anybody if Judge goes off tomorrow night or later tonight, hits 2 home runs, the Yankees win 5-1 or 7-2, and then they turn it around? Like, it's almost so bad and so inept that it's almost a little bit easier to kind of wash away for me. Like, it's so bad and so ridiculously awful and historically bad that it's kind of just goes, well, this is such a, you know, it's such a fluke. It's just so, it's so bad that it's easy to kind of just say, well, this is just ridiculous. Something's up. You know, it's a bad 5-game stretch. You'll move on. And I fully expect them to, because this offense has been really good all year. And that's one of the points I really want to hammer home. Like, it would be one thing if this was a cause for concern all year. The offense has been really good, and top to bottom too. The idea that it's Judge and nobody else is just unfair. It's unfair. Now, they haven't stepped up while he slumped over this last week. That's true. But the idea that that it's just been him alone scoring all these runs, it's not true. John in Brooklyn, real quick before we end it. What's up, John? John, you there? Oh, John, I wanted to find out who you would root for in the World Series. Someone hit me up and said, I agree with you on everything but the Tigers. Really? The Tigers? Yes, the Tigers. Maybe more than... Do we remember how many series they lost to the Tigers? Remember Justin Verlander before he was an Astro sticking it to us as a Tiger? You remember, you know, Randy Johnson getting lit up in like 06 bothers me. It doesn't bother you as a Yankee fan? That was the team, man. That was, man, maybe you're too young. You don't remember 06. I mean, they had the best record in baseball with the Mets. They both had the best record in baseball. The Yankees were Murderers Row plus Cano. And they lost to that lousy team in Kenny Rogers. Screw the Tigers. Everybody have a great day. Thank you for calling. I'll catch you tomorrow at 2 a.m. Warm-up show's next. Bye-bye. 101.9 FM.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.